Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40K goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live.
We are indeed live. See, that countdown was a bit
that
more
countdown was that. Dog shit. It went 5, 4, 3. You're live.
Yeah. It's totally glitched out. Never mind. Cheers. How you doing, buddy? You okay?
I'm banging, mate. How are you?
Yes, good. Welcome to the sacred number of In The Tank, episode 7, the blessed number of Nurgle.
The dirty number, yeah.
The dirty number, yes.
Indeed. Yeah, apparently I like to think it's each god's number of how many fingers they can take in their various orifices. So Nurgle's getting away pretty lightly considering how many orifices
they
probably
have.
Only
but that doesn't work because Sinesh can only take 6. So
yeah, but they're huge her fingers.
Mate, what a way to start a pod. How you been, my man? You been okay?
Yeah, banging, mate. Built a load more jeans, did a Colts last night. So yeah, I'm slowly growing a third arm, which is good.
The mining world is becoming established.
It's growing.
Good, man. Yeah, I did some cool hobby stuff over the weekend. We got something to talk about because we met over the weekend.
We did. Cool. Yeah, we had a hot day.
We did have a hot date. But yes, no, I'm good. I'm currently back on the old Dark Angels again. So I'm painting up, currently on my painting desk, got 5 jump pack instances because they're pretty sick.
Very good.
And 4 assault terminators with thunder hammers and storm shields. So I'm currently working my way through those. I'm just breaking it piecemeal, as we said last time, you know.
Like, well, that's the way to do it. Break it down, get through it, you know.
There you go. I love that. That's kind of like your voice is in my head now. It's like, break it down, work through. You can do this.
I'm on the little cloud floating on your shoulder. Break it down into manageable goals.
No, you wouldn't be on a cloud, mate. You'd have a pitchfork and like 2
horns. Yeah, I definitely would.
You'd definitely be that person.
Although, a couple of my mates were talking about, you know, the Warhammer magazine, the one that you get loads of, like, it's the Combat Patrol one. I think they're just launching, where you get loads of Combat Patrol for a lot less than you pay for it. And a couple of my mates were talking about getting it, and I was like, don't do it. You don't need the minis. And they were like, but it's so tempting. You get such discount. And I was like, I'm like the ghost of Warhammer Future. I'm sat with so much great plastic. 10 of me couldn't even fucking paint it in a lifetime. So don't do it.
It looks like a good deal.
It is a fucking cool, good deal.
Isn't there like a cool Inferno Sergeant that comes with that?
Yeah, there is. Look, stop getting tempted. Buy it on eBay for a ridiculous sum and be done with it. You'll save money in the long run. Trust me.
Yeah, you're true. I don't need that much grey plastic.
You don't need it. Who even runs Inferno Marines?
Salamanders?
Yeah, true. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They love a bit of fire.
There you go. See?
Fire at the disco.
So yes, you came over to my house. What do you think of my house?
I did. Yeah, it was great. I loved your wallpaper. Yeah, I mean, you had very funky wallpaper, which was a highlight.
Dark
for me.
Green, because of course, it would be dark green living room.
And I felt like I was like, you know, like when you go into like a haunted mansion and there's loads of dolls everywhere. It was like that, but with Funko Pops. Clearly, Mel has an addiction.
That's kind of.
I was like Funko Pop, Funko Pop.
Well, we used to have them all on the window sill of our old house, and it just looked ridiculous. So now we've decided they're literally scattered in every single.
They're everywhere. They're on every surface.
In a different like theme. So I think in one of the bathrooms, you've got like a xenomorph one that's like stalking you as you take a shit.
They're really cool. I like them. They look good. It's good fun. You've got a very nerdy house, which I love.
Nerdy. So, of course, Mel trolled me by putting. The Sadness Funko on my Dark Angels Black Library shelf.
I saw that, from Inside Out.
But like, classic. Just to be like,
you had a Dark Angels one, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, it's on my desk.
Yeah, I thought
it's literally here. It's like literally here.
Oh, look at that. There we go.
Look at that. Along with Eddie Van Halen. So you know where my loyalties lie, but there you go.
Exactly, yeah. But no, it was great. We had a hell of a day. We went to Subway for a hot lunch and we came back and we basically beat each other to a pulp with some fucking old school floor hammer.
Didn't that take you back? Because I have kickstarted this awesome gaming table. with Mel, my wife. But unfortunately, the date has been pushed back. The manufacturing date has been pushed back.
Yeah.
But I have quite a lot of floor room in my yeah. So I was like, fuck it, we'll just play floor hammer. And it was like the
bat-breaking. You say you got quite a lot of room, right? Like we were both lying either side of the table, like we were in Titanic. Like paint me like one of your French girls. I was
on the sofa looking all like, oh yeah.
It was great. But no,
it gives
you perfect.
That old school vibe, right? It was really cool. But
talk about hopping in the time machine. It's been a few years since I did some floor hammer.
Absolutely. But yeah, it was really fun, wasn't it? Like we had a great
game.
Yeah,
it was a great
game. That was a great game. Yeah. What happened?
It's Deathwing Knights, mate. They are filthy. Well, basically, you played Warhammer, and all I did was diddle around the edge of the map, drawing shit secondaries and just not killing anything.
That's literally what I said, though, in the previous episode, though. It was like, I'm just going to play the game. And that's essentially what I did.
You just ran at me with like a 10 block of Terminators turn one. You were like, I'm just going to come for you. And I was like, fuck. I screamed, but then like, it was just, although there was a very tasty moment on that turn one where you attacked 2 5-man Deathmark squads and one of them somehow survived with like 2 guys left. And you were like, you want to pick them up? And I was like, I'm rolling it. And they survived. And you were like, fuck.
So just to tell you guys about our list, because obviously, you weren't there. I ran a really cool Inner Circle list that I've been wanting to try out for ages, which included 3 units of 5 Deathwing Knights, a unit of 10 Assault Terminators, which I was going to pop in turn one, a couple units of Scouts, Assault Intercessors, a tank, like a Gladiator Lancer, which I've now subsequently dropped from my list. And that was, I think, about it. And you ran a destroyery cool Catanius.
Yeah, I was doing my typical hypercrypt sort of stuff with a few Locust Heavies, like 10-man Immortals zipping about with a Chronomancer. And then I had a big block of Scorpec as well with Deep Strike, which was quite good fun. Quite enjoyed that. Although I think next time what I'd probably do is just break it down into 2 3-mans with Lords, because they still get enough done, but they're, you know, not, you don't quite have as much of a big investment in one unit. It was really good fun, though.
Want to focus fire on them because I held blasted them. I think if they had been split into 2 units, I would have found that a bit harder to have prioritised how to kill them, if that makes sense.
I had 5 flayed ones, right? And my flayed ones are well known for basically surviving the whole game normally because they're little arseholes. Yeah. Normally, because they're stealth, they just like get down to like one guy and then they all get back up again and they're like, ha-ha. Fucking Russ's Calidus Assassin just came down and was like, dodge this, and just fucking toasted them with a fucking pistol. And I was like, you've killed the whole squad. And you were like, yeah, I wanted to charge onto that objective, actually.
So, yeah, the thing to take away from that, presumably, of course, I'm 99% sure that the ruling hasn't changed between the new Imperial Agent Skellex. Calidus Assassin is so good. Beast. Like, dude, like, it gives my army a little bit of Trixie that I ordinarily wouldn't have. I play very, like, I don't know, solitary, where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to just...
I'm doing my own thing here, and if you fuck around
with
me...
I'm just going to primary you to death and just take secondaries when I can and just, like, and just be like, dodge,
it was close,
move me off.
But Russ pulled it out of the bag. Like, I secret missioned and got it to within 10 points. It was a close game, but like you just sat on points and survived, and I just couldn't get you off them. I think I made a couple of mistakes here and there that would have maybe swung it, but it's a learning lesson. I've not played against Deathwing Knights before, and those boys, they fuck.
They fuck.
Yeah.
I loved your Catans, though. Your Catans game, to be fair, you did play very well, in as much as like you deep strike the Catans because I didn't screen very well on my backline, but then to be fair, I wanted to move out.
Well, they just advanced teleported turn one onto Russ's home objective and zapped all his scouts, and Russ was like, this is a problem.
Hey, this is an issue. But then all I did was I just went, I'm going to ignore that problem.
I'm
just going to ignore that problem and just kind of go everywhere else. My Assault Terminators did some work because... We kind of did a combat against your wraiths beforehand as a test because I was just curious.
Your captain just fucking deleted like half a squad of wraiths on his own,
and it didn't work. But then in the actual game, I kind of like got in and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to be bogged down with these fuckers all game. But actually, as you say, Constantine just like power fisted a couple.
I'm going to play next time we play each other. I'm going to play my Awakened Dynasty detachment because I've got a bit more resurrection-y bullshit that I can do.
We
do
need to do the best out of three there because that's
yeah, we
one
do.
Apiece.
Yeah, yeah. Because anyway, we're 1-1. So the next one is the true victor. We'll see. It's good fun.
Like, green paint on my hand. Look at that. Like you can see. What I'm doing this one.
A true hobbyist.
It's like Dark Angel's voice in my core.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's interesting. So that's what you're going to do as a list. I'm going to ever so slightly modify my list. I'm going to be running the first company detachment from Codex Space Marines.
Yeah.
Which is just like, what am I doing?
Often viewed as the worst detachment, although maybe not the Anvil Siege Force. That's probably the worst. But it's most people view that as one of the weaker ones, but I reckon you're going to make it work.
I have been wanting to mess with it for a while because halfway through that game, I was like, if I can pick up and put down Terminators at a whim here,
yeah,
that would just completely change.
Because once those boys
dynamic.
Are down in the other, in the inner circle one, they're kind of just sat there and they can't go very fast and they're just kind of like,
exactly.
I think you either want to go with this one, which you're going to test out, obviously, first company, or you want to try out, I know you're not keen, but you want to try out the one where, is it Gladius?
It is Gladius.
Yeah, Gladius.
Because
the advance and charge gives you a bit more speed, but like,
the reason
I know
why I don't want
like
to try
it.
Gladius is because it's A, everyone the hotness, it. B, yeah. it's the Ultramarines detachment, which makes me feel dirty anyway.
That is
right?
dirty. Yeah.
And it all kind of also revolves around the synergy of the Apothecary Biologist with whatever it's assigned to with Fire Discipline. Which I just don't. I just
it's a
don't
bit
want
lame.
To fanny around with, and
it's
that's a,
yawny,
a significant point investment that I can put into more Terminators.
And to be honest with you, you're probably just better off like running them as Ultramarines. I don't know, but anyway, we'll probably have another game in the next sort of month or two, hopefully, and we'll get that third one out and see who the real victor is. Oof.
All right,
shots fired.
Should I just play the game again?
Yeah, I'm actually probably going to play the game as well this time.
I mean, you babe. Like, let's see if you can focus on the task. Exactly. You did go in the tank, though, bless you, which was quite
For one moment, I did. Yeah, I was like...
which is very on-brand for you. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm just going to fanny around now. just let him do what he needs to do. At least I'm not running Desolation Marines anymore. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, flashbacks.
So there you go. So Deathwing Knights are the best. Let's move on. So we got some news. We got some news today. Yeah. So obviously we have the release of Imperial Agents that came out. That's going to be officially released at the weekend. How are we feeling about Imperial Agents? Are they cool?
I think it's great as allies, but I don't really know how good they're going to be on their own. We'll find out.
We discussed this briefly in person.
Yeah.
Of like... It seems on paper really cool and really narrative that you can
I think
like
it's very
have
fluffy.
Various, yeah, that you can have also in your normal Imperial dexes, you can obviously, from a competitive viewpoint, have certain units enter your army where otherwise you wouldn't have done, right? So like Sisters units or Grey Knight units or poor Death Watch that have been now relegated to like a small aspect of a very fluffy codex, but you know, whatever. But the question, of course, is why? Why would you do that? Like, from a competitive standpoint, I guess there's only, like, one or two armies that would really, like, benefit from that kind of thing, which is, like, Imperial Knights, just to have some chaffy infantry or some objective, you know, infantry or whatever. It's cool. It's nice to have the option. And I'm sure there might be someone that might bust it and figure out a point
I'm sure.
there. Which...
I think there might be one way. I'm sure it's usually someone like Manny or something will bust it and make some run X amount of this. And
then no one's expecting happens, and just throw that down or whatever. But to be honest, that codex might as well be what I perceived that codex to be in third, which is the Imperial Assassins decks. Because that's kind of why we want that deck. So it is access to... the better units in the decks, which are the 100%. Imperial Assassins,
I think
which
I think
we
the
all love.
Be great fun, yeah. Because we saw that little coolest. Like leak about the whole the Vindicare and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be pretty fun.
And I'm on Team Calidus now. Like now that I've tried my taste of Calidus. Oh, Calidus is so cool. And very.
I saw
not
someone
me,
who painted theirs as Lady Deadpool as well, which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, I'm almost there because mine's quite red. Mine's quite red with blonde hair, which is quite cool. But like. But But yeah, no, I mean, very tricksy for me. So kind of out of the box for me. But, I you know, interesting.
And then we also got another affront against nipples by Games Workshop. The new Sanguinary Guard and the new Sanguinaur. Yeah. Although I call him the new Sanguinaur. Let's just say the old Sanguinaur, HD.
See, now, I have been speaking to some people.
Yeah.
And I've heard a little bit of rumblings from the Blood Angels community that they're not particularly happy right now.
What do you mean? They don't like tiny little wings coming off their jetpacks. How could they not love that?
Look, man. For one, I think unanimously, everyone quite likes the Death Company stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, essentially, Death Company jump pack intercessors, an upgrade for your dreads, which I think is a thing.
Yep.
And the new sculpts of Lamartes, Ball Gag Lamartes, cool. and Astaroth.
Yep.
Fine. Awesome. We love those. And, you know, not to be like an ungrateful, you know, git about this, like, cool that we get some upgraded Golden Boys as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But the general consensus, though, from Blood Angels people is like, thank you for
also,
my storm
pass.
Like
you can run them in, like, three or six now, right? The Sanguinary Guard, I think they're going to
pack
like
three. That's like the Inner
like
Circle
Blade Guard.
Companions.
Yeah, and them. Companion. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
they're all kind of getting their own version
weird.
Of that. Yeah.
I guess from a lore perspective, that makes more sense considering how rare Sanguinary Guard are.
Yeah.
Because there's only meant to be like 10 of them, nine of them total.
Do you think, because if you look at this, right, we were talking about this the other day with new kits and like, looking at legions and all that sort of stuff. And we were saying like, so obviously Dark Angels, they've got the three man inner circles. That's their version of the Sanguinary pack, right? Sanguinary Guard, three man. Wolves, I bet you Wolfen turned to three men as well. Are they already three men? I can't remember. I think
Wolfen
five,
are
right?
five.
I bet they go to threes with their new sculpts. I'm gonna make a bet on that right now, whenever they do get that.
That's cool.
I'm gonna make
a bet.
We'll
have like the sacred three.
Yeah, I think that would be their three or six.
My guess, 13 company bodyguards, like three mans.
Yeah, I can only get so.
I don't know if Wolfen. I don't know. Wolfen seem more like a pack though. Where I mean, they could be three men.
I think, they
but like they just seem to me. Okay, cool. Okay, well that's cool. Okay, you know, especially if they're slightly bigger for them fitting in rhinos and stuff.
Yeah, I do think that Wolfen are going to lose all of their little, you know, like how they can add like a Terminator to the Wolf Guard, and you've got all these bits and bobs. I feel like they're all going to kind of disappear.
I was going to say, do you mean Wolfen or Wolfguard? Because obviously,
I was talking about Wolfen.
Wolfguard
will probably turn into like a five-man Primaris version. A bit like Death
absolutely.
Company.
And you get Terminator Wolfguard as well, can't you? So,
yeah, I don't know whether that will stay. We'll see.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
That's what I'm saying. They're kind of simplifying, aren't they?
I mean, the one unit that I can see being rotated out of the decks eventually, but is actually my favourite Space Wolf unit, which is saying something considering that I'm not a massive fan of Space Wolf in general.
Go on.
Is the old Long Fangs, the old Devastators?
Yeah, they are.
So they're signature Devastators. Just because
they're great.
I love that they kind of work in reverse, where like in normal Space Marine Legions and Chapter Doctrine, it's like you go heavy weapons first, and then the closer you get to your opponent, the more vet you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the Space Wolves are the opposite. So the closer you get to them, the more like young and feral and like thing you are. And then as you get older, you get further away.
Yeah.
And like the fact that the long fangs are the old guys that like are like, I can
shoot
properly.
I'm too old for this shit.
No, but it's like I've actually learned to shoot.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're not like stormtroopers.
No. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing you don't associate with Space Wolves is shooting, really, is it? But like,
no.
I love a long fang. I think long fangs are cool.
On another Games Workshop note, while we're in this sort of topic zone, one of my mates was saying that he still hasn't got his Pariah Nexus deck. I don't know if you've had this issue or whether you know anybody has, but apparently a lot of people have just not been able to get hold of Pariah Nexus decks. There's quite a shortage, apparently. So
I imagine
GW needs
it's
to get
something.
Our shit together.
Now, see, I kind of predicted this because it seems like GW this year in particular have had a weird stock issue with certain things.
Well, they're expanding, aren't
they?
If they
sell out, this is it. I think this is it, right? You hit the nail on the head there. But I think regardless of reason, they create an initial wave of product.
Yeah.
And then inevitably that product sells out. Yep. And then it takes them months to create that.
To get it back in.
Like product again. And this is an argument that I've said previously on the show in terms of like build more factories and stuff like that. I know that's
what they're doing.
That's fair.
Which is good.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But at least make enough of the Pariah Nexus deck to potentially associate that first wave of people needing them.
I think
It's a fundamental piece that you
Everyone needs one, right? If you're going to a tournament, you're supposed to have one because, you know, usually you have two per table, right? As in your opponent will have one and you go, well, should we use my cards or your cards? You know, it's fine. You'll get away with it. But, you know, if enough people are missing them, that's going to cause problems at an event, you know?
So, yeah, exactly.
Never mind.
Well, I mean, it's just an annoyance. But then there's been quite a few weird stock issues with that recently.
There has, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously COVID, the Suez Canal, loads of random other crap had some impact.
Yeah, the Suez Canal thing was crazy. I think that was the thing for like Curse City or something like that. You know what happened.
You couldn't get that for the longest time.
But it was almost like expunged from Imperial Record, which was the weirdest thing.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah. It was so weird. But G-Dubs deleted like all links to it. And like
they were like, Curse City? What's that?
And it was weird. Just weird PR.
They do some weird shit sometimes, don't they?
We've talked about that as well.
Yeah, we have.
What are you doing? You just need one intern of a slightly younger generation to be like,
don't worry, guys. It's coming back.
That's a good idea.
Relax. Yeah, the Suez Canal is blocked. Yeah, just done.
Because then inevitably what happens is people go fucking crazy and then sell Pariah Nexus deck on eBay for like 50 quid or something stupid.
Exactly. I bet you if you go on there now, like they'd be on there ridiculous.
Yeah, I bet that's what happens. It's the same that's going on right now with the Black Library Mini, which is the Celestian Sacrosanct Lady, the Black Library miniature, where she, you know, like there's no communication from GW whether she'll be restocked. Whether she'll be reprinted, because it doesn't say limited edition on the model, but she's completely sold out of the GW store. Like, eBay prices on her are amazing. I pre-ordered her because I absolutely love that mini. Like, that mini looks stunning. Yeah. She's got, like, the flaming, like, third Elise coming out of her sword. Yeah, she's like, cool. She has no rules. Well, she has Legends rules, but I imagine in the future codexes she may be a
maybe
normal unit. But I think she's stunning, but... Like, yeah, very weird. Very weird business practices. That is
sometimes.
Like,
hopefully, now that they're getting this expansion going, things will calm down. And in the long run, they'll have plenty of grey plastic crack for all these nerds to sniff up in time with no balking or being upset.
We need it. Yeah. It's weird. It's the thing.
I need to fill my garage with brain plastic.
Let me fill my house with boxes of things.
Fuck, there's a gap near the ceiling. Get me five more boxes of Stormcast Eternal.
But I mean, just very quickly, just to bring it back to the original subject. Do you like the Blood Angels things? Do you like them? They look cool.
I can see why some people are a bit sad about them. They have stayed very true with Astaroth and the Sanguinaur's models, which I don't have a problem with because I think they're both cool models originally. And the HD upgrade is cool. It's a bit like when you get like a remastered PlayStation game. You're like, oh shit, that one looked that bad. Yeah. But yeah, it's... Yeah. They're cool. I think that they maybe could have done the wings a bit more justice on the Sanguinary Guard. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
For me, it's the nipple gate. I think it's completely unnecessary.
I know. It's so ridiculous.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, not as in I don't get people's thing, because Pleasant Kenobi made a really interesting video about it. And my wife is like, what is going on with these? A GW store person that I saw recently, like, I'm not going to name the store or even the person, but they were not happy about the new Sanguinary Guard or the weird head on the Sanguinaur either. But like, the nipple thing is surreal because obviously the Blood Angels have this almost like Renaissance Italian.
Yeah, like, it's like an old school very breastplate, right?
Yeah, like very sculpted. Sort of Da Vinci-esque vibes, right?
Like, got their, like the pecs, the abs, you know, they're all muscular. They look like really peak physical form.
Yeah, exactly. I think that you've hit the nail on the head, right? They personify that peak human, like, sculpted Adonis vibe.
It's like, you know, the Goliath statue sort of thing. You know, it's like all muscled up and sexy looking.
Yeah, exactly.
But why no nips?
Weird. Yeah. Is that to appease, like, more puritanical like audiences or what? Knows, like, mate. just bizarre.
Also nipples do kind of look strange. Like, it's you look at them and you think, I get it, but I don't. I don't know. I'm not with gold. To be honest.
For me, not with gold armor. Like Tycho looked cool, and original Dante was beloved.
I mean, if there was a nip on there and it was pierced, that would be a bit weird. Maybe that's too far, but like, you know,
yeah, maybe
just two regular nips.
Not far enough.
Pretty normal.
Not far enough.
Them, mostly. Yeah.
I mean.
Anyway, yeah, like, we should probably move
off the subject of nips. We spent far too long discussing nipples of toy soldiers.
Started with fingers, now we're moving on to nipples. Right.
There we go.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the first meaty topic of the pod, despite our fannying around. So this is brought to my attention from a listener of the student that I've the podcast called Other Ed. And
Other
weirdly,
Ed, yeah.
Other Ed is Other
My
Ed
nemesis.
To you. Like, you're both Other Ed, which I find hilarious. So, hello, Ed. Ed,
hello,
wanted
Other
us
Ed.
To discuss... Hello, Other Ed. So, we wanted to discuss the subject of basically the setting being ironic and, like, the grim, dark vibe being, like, this satire. In as regards to, like, so many people take it really seriously as a setting in terms of, like, I think... you know, the lack of awareness of how irony works, right? And don't get me wrong, like, Britishness and irony go hand in hand, where we love a bit of it. We love to, like, twist it in a really, like, intellectually, like, arrogant way. And, you know, not to be stereotypical, but Americans struggle with the concept of irony. So hello, our American listeners.
God, shots fired.
Well, it's true. I mean, dude, I have American friends, and they were like, when they first moved to the UK, they were like, I had no idea if people were being serious or not, like, half the time.
Yeah, we are quite bad with that sometimes.
It took them ages to understand, like, tone of, like, when something is sarcastic and something is not, right?
Tone.
And something is very literal. But, like, what do you perceive as, like, the setting of, like, and of course, this is all kind of, like, boiled down to essentially what the Imperium is.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you feel about the setting being ironic? How do you feel about the Imperium of Man, Ed? Go.
So I think this is really interesting because I think sci-fi, I'm going to go back, like sci-fi originally when it sort of first came about, it was very hopeful. I don't know if you sort of noticed this with like older works of sci-fi, very like, you know, broad, amazing futures and like, you know,
especially in the 60s, because I think it was a reflection of the space race.
Exactly.
Right?
I think so. And
it was all like utopian.
Final frontier.
It was all like utopian, right? And like the future of mankind was bright.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is the polar fucking opposite. This is like mankind's gone down the boggo and like and been triple flush, basically. It is a hot mess. Everywhere's fucked. It's all dark. Everyone's dying. Life is misery. Yeah. And, you know, it's we're kind of... I love that, you know. I think it's a really fun way. It's gritty. I think it's real, and I think that it really fits the aesthetic of this like war-torn galaxy that's just being like pulled apart by everyone at the seams, and nobody can hold it together. So I love that. The irony of it, I think, is obviously it's playing on like our sort of darkest timeline, you know, this possible future for humanity where we just keep digressing and devolving into this like life becoming cheaper and cheaper and like, you know, destroying the planet, which we, you know, we are doing a good job at doing, as I'm sure has been discussed to death. Like, you know, it's this kind of future where the Earth is this bleak wasteland, you know, this huge industrialized hellscape. And I think it's fucking cool, but it's definitely pretty on the nose in terms of what it's trying to take the piss out of and sort of, you know, wink at slightly. But I love it. I'm into it. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Alan Moore, one of my favourite writers of all time, even if he is.
He's from Northampton, where I'm from, by the way.
He is indeed. Yeah, he still lives there, I think. Yeah. Much love to Alan. He discussed on a podcast once that the best sci-fi isn't ever talking about the future, it's talking about the present. Mm. And you've got to imagine, from a historical point of view, not to get all intellectual about this, but it's quite an interesting. I love history anyway. Like, you know. Warhammer as a concept was kind of conceived in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking like Thatcherism, like what happens with the Falklands
Cold War.
And stuff. Cold War.
Berlin Wall.
Cold War. Also kind of like the awareness, I think, sociologically of like how fucked Victorian imperialism was, right? Where like as a nation, we were kind of like waking up from World War II a bit and going like,
Like, a lot of the Imperium and what's happened mirrors kind of what happened with the United Kingdom.
British Empire, right?
And the British Empire. It's this big expansion. It's this big expansion out there, and then basically it's all fucking falling apart, and they can barely keep hold of it, and they're all kind of like, oh, just take it back, like, you know, fuck it. Have your freedom
back. It's the most British thing ever, isn't it, really, 40K?
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, I love.
And
it's very similar in dark tonality to, like, Judge Dredd and stuff.
Yeah, right?
Where you get these little pockets of joy and, like, optimism and, like, these really, and because the setting is so dark, it makes those little human moments that much more powerful, right?
Yeah,
especially
when
they're between like space marines, or even more so like primarchs and demigods, where you're like, oh, they are human, kind of, after all. But also like, just the overwhelming sort of irony that this isn't good, right? This is not cool. Like, I think people that kind of look at the Imperium and think of it as a net positive for humanity have completely missed the boat of, like, what the setting is all about. Don't get me wrong. Neither am I part of this completely anti-Imperium group that are like, chaos are the way forward and chaos are the best, and like it just shows the evil of what the Imperial Man is. Look, man, I'd prefer to serve as a worm underneath the tread of the Imperial Man than have my soul torn apart by demons for eternity.
That sounds shit.
Where I'm at. I mean, the only true innocence, the only true innocence, I think, in the 40K versus some like Xenos species that have like no skin in the game or whatever. I mean, the Eldar have a lot to be, you know, guilty for,
but then
there are some other, like, orcs I kind of perceive as weirdly quite innocent. They're just a victim of circumstance.
So weren't they originally the Krog or something like that, and they were super fucking massive, like awesome,
they
armored,
were old,
like,
ones, right? They were created by the old ones,
yeah, to,
like,
to,
I think,
be used in the war,
to beat up
in
the Necrons, right?
I think they were something like that. Yeah, and then they obviously started devolving, and they've kind of like lost their original form, but they're still hard as fuck. I love the orcs. I think they're great. I know they're a bit of the comic relief
Crocs?
Of the universe.
Was it Crocs or Crocs? Was it Crocs?
I think it's Crocs, maybe.
I think that was what happened in the War of the Beasts, right? Was like a Croc survived.
He basically
and took
started
on
sort
Vulcan.
Of re-evolving into one or something. The bigger he got or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you know, and equally, I kind of attack the far right in this regard, that really take the setting too seriously, and they come to like events with quite xenophobic concepts, and it's like, sit down. It's ironic. Don't be too.
Yeah.
But equally, I feel like you get some people more necessarily on the left that hate the Imperium because of what it is by default, right? And not understanding again that it's ironic, and that we're bathing in this like sweaty irony, and it's like, oh well, it's actually just kind of hilarious and it's darkness, right? Because again, the Imperium can be quite funny and it's like inhumanness, right? And just the scale is just absurd, where you're just like,
I just love, you know, like, I love Gilliman just standing over his little planetary map where they're all just going red, and he's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Bollocks. He's
just
like, he's trying to put out fires, and he's like,
especially because, not being harsh on Gilliman, he's probably Gilliman's probably my least favorite Primarch, which is kind of hilarious considering how much I rag on Russ and
Gorek. Goody two-shoes for me.
But like, I know that that hurts Gilliman more than any other Primarch because of who Gilliman is. That, you know, like in his brain, he's like trying to sort everything out with his like Microsoft brain, and just like kind of like AI brain.
He's
kind
in
of
the tank,
go, I'm going to sort this all out. And despite his best efforts as like
it's
going in
wrong.
The tank about it, it's just all still going to shit. And he's like losing systems left.
He's like,
and center and stuff.
Bollocks. Yeah.
Which is why I'm really intrigued to see how the line's going to shape that up a bit and be like,
yeah,
come on, brother.
I'm intrigued
like,
to see where they're going to go.
Stop
with
being
the
a pen pusher.
Like, we're at a point now where, because they're kind of like wrapping up a lot of storylines, like long old storylines and stuff, we're going to start branching out into some interesting new storylines and like like trilogies, books, whatever it is. You know, I think it's going to be cool to see where they kind of take it forwards.
I think we need to do an entire podcast on that, and that's given me an idea for a subject.
Yeah, we will discuss that further down the line.
But I think for me, the kicker will be if GW is prepared to take risks.
Yeah,
because I think when you do risks, cool story events happen, like the Fall of Cadia and what happened with the Great Rift, right? Which, you know, a lot of people were kind of like, the planet fell before the god did, or whatever, do you know what I mean? But I thought that was a cool way of pushing the lore forward, even if Abaddon is a knobhead.
Because like, I feel the sort of pariah nexus-y stuff, it's like, I haven't read the lore for it, but it all feels a bit...
It kind of just didn't go anywhere.
I'll just get on with it now.
Same with the Indomitus Crusade. Same with the Indomitus Crusade, really. It just kind of like went, and it kind of happened. It was like,
Some people were fighting, you know, planets were lost,
some people died, some people didn't die.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like, okay. But like, I don't know. We'll talk about that on a future
subject. Yeah, we will. We'll dive deep into it.
But it's actually one of the things that I actually love about the setting is its bleakness and its horrendousness. I think that does come from a British Victorian headspace, where like life from the point of view of like it sucks.
Yeah,
you know, if you were under the boot of British colonialism, do you know what I mean? It's kind of not a million miles away, right?
There were some fucking dark times that we won't talk about, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and it's the less cool things about being British is that reflection and going like, and you know, it fucking reeks. Don't get me wrong, the Imperium is taking that and turning it to like 1,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, the seed of the concept is not a million miles away, and it's just like, But I love it. I think it's great.
Like it's a really fun setting because it's so ridiculously turned up to 11. Like I just think it's great. Like when you picture it, like it's just fucking cool. It's really cool.
It's bombastically epic and awe-inspiring. Yeah. And it makes you feel quite small as a person.
Yeah. Like everyone's just a tiny little cog in this gigantic machine, you know.
Which is weird, but I guess it's the same reason why people enjoy reading like Call of Cthulhu and stuff, right? Where, you know, this huge concept is so utterly terrifying.
Yeah,
but as a human, you can't stop looking at it, right? And you just like the curiosity of it is cool. And possibly explores like the absolute depth of human depravity of like how bad it can all get, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just how fucked up it can all be. But I think it's the thing that keeps us going for years.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
Setting, really.
Yeah. And, you know, you get sucked in by the models. You walk past the shop, you're like, yeah, these models are cool. Then you walk in, you start reading into it, you get your codex, you read a bit of your codex, you're like, fuck, I'm into this. Like, fuck. And then you start getting some books, and you're like a few books in, then you've got like an entire fucking library of Horus Heresy books in your house, and your wife's putting like emo little figures in front of them because, and you know you're on the slippery slope then. Like, you should see my Audible library. It's just fucking full of this shit.
Oh, it's fucked, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's me too. But you also get this weird tribalisticness where, like, you start to assigning your like personality to the faction that you've chosen, as much as they're they're assholes, but they're my assholes.
It's
like, do you know what I mean? Like no one's a good guy. Yeah. And it's like, these assholes are the assholes that I love. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, it just happens to be Moody Knights. And for you, it just happens to be psycho
Necrons and lunatic.
Cultists. But like, there you go.
Perfect.
But it's very cool. But there you go. Let us know your thoughts. And again, I just noticed that we're over halfway through the show. Leave us some comments. Like our stuff, please. We need to do this, damn it. I need to like set a thing on my phone, which is like...
Two-thirds of the way through the show, and you're like...
Fucking hell. Fuck. At least I remembered it, though. You were blissfully guarded in lore realms.
It's okay, I put a subscribe button right at the start of the video now, so it's
fine. Oh, well, fair enough. That's fine, and I make social media posts, so that's fine. We'll claw it back. But like,
we will.
But yes, please send us some love, and please let us know what you love about the setting... what elements of it, what makes you, I don't know, I was going to come up with a like thing there. I was going to say, what makes your turkey twizzle?
What makes you drop your yogurt? Tip your filthy cement?
I was trying to like grab something and then I just lost it at the last bit. I fumbled it. And turkey twizzle.
Quickly, next topic.
Please, fuck it out. That was tragic. That's tragic. That was like the opposite of a creamy wet blend. That was like
yeah, it was a hard cut.
That was like a scalpel cut, which
I enjoyed it.
Becomes its own creamy blend.
Oh, come on, he's turning it around.
Deep cuts. You saw that. So, hobby tools. What hobby tools can you not live without?
Oh, baby.
Like, from a practical perspective. Go, quickly. Let's do this.
My number one is a good pair of little hobby snips. I've got the Japanese one. Yeah, hang on. Give me a second. You tell yours and I'll grab mine. Hold on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, getting a good pair of clippers is essential. I quite like quite sharp, quite like not special ones because I like the oomph that I get from them to like the clippers.
Tamiya.
Bloody essential.
These are bad boys. I tried using those,
but I prefer quite crappy ones, weirdly.
Yeah, you see, I've got some crappy old ones, some like GW ones and some others and stuff, and they're fine. I mainly use them to just do like shit work with, but these ones, they really keep their edge, and I've had them for like, I don't know, 3 years, and they're still amazing. So... Yeah,
no, they're fair. Good, they're quite cool.
It's like a very basic tool, but I think it's one of my most important in the hobby toolkit, right? You know.
Can I give you a basic tool that I love apart from my penis?
Go on.
Is this, which
is a
graphite pencil with a really sharp tip, which that I never need to sharpen. I've got like about 8 or 9 of those like cartridges in. If people just listen to this, it's basically like an artificial pencil. Which is graphite based.
Yeah.
But I use that absolutely loads for marking out things on my minis of stuff to paint. So just to give you an example, literally right now, I am painting my 5 jump pack intercessors. And my scheme for my green wing element of Miami is the Angels of Redemption scheme, which is the 50-50 cut either side between cream and green. So basically what I do to help me just and it, honestly, it helps me so much just visualize the line, is I just graphite down the middle line and
that's
then follow that painting-wise. So, and I do that all the time.
And then you can rub it out afterwards, right?
Yeah, or just water. Water will take it off.
Oh, well, yeah, fair.
So you know, like it's wicked. It works great. And freehand, any freehand symbology or anything, just you know.
It's a good idea.
Don't make life difficult for yourself. Just make it
freehand's
more efficient.
Hard, man. Yeah.
It is hard.
My mate Paul's amazing at freehand. Like, he's done some really sick stuff. Like, he did like a rhino for his World Eaters, and he's got like that sort of picture of Angron with like the sort of really cool thematic one. He's actually just drawn it on the top of rhino. I was like, how the fuck did you do that? I could barely get like I couldn't even draw a skull.
that's when you kind of pinpoint like the art students in the hobby, where you're like,
he's quite arty, he loves his sketching and stuff.
And that's very cool. Like, those people, you've got to love those people.
If you can do it, fucking, you know, adds a lot.
Do it. Like,
so my other one, this is another real basic one, but basically, when I do, I use plastic glue for a lot of my minis. I know that you use that cement, don't you? We talked about this in a previous episode. But I use the blue, Revel plastic glue with like the sort of long, thin nozzle applicator.
The
one that just says, warning, cancer. But anyway, that one, when I'm putting it on, sometimes you'll get a little bit just overflow around the edge. I don't know if you've ever had this, and you get, if you leave it, you end up with that little puddle that dries around the edge of the join, and it always looks shit. So what I have is an old Citadel large dry brush that I've had for years, and I just use that to just quickly dry brush away any of the extra stuff, gets rid of it. Perfect. Never had a problem. No puddling. So that's one of my little pro tips. I love that. Always doing
that's a great one. No, that is a really good one. To be fair, I used that contactor for years, and now I use the Tamiya one with the brush on, which you still need to, and then get back to me of which one you prefer, because I'd be
I need to give it a go. I will do. When this runs out, I'll get one and give it a whirl.
So there you go. I recently got a new hobby thing that I absolutely now love, and I'm looking straight at it because it's above my desk. It's a SCARDIS pegboard from IKEA.
Oh, is this for like hanging stuff off of? That's a great idea.
Yeah, so I've literally got it on my wall, and I've got like loads of tubs on it, and it's got all of my most used Citadel paints, washes, and stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you might not have like a focused hobby space like that, but if you do, get those, because, oh my God, it's like, I'm never going back to putting paints in some sort of organized thing. I can just reach in and grab it and just always I use
nail varnish storage.
Yeah, they do great, mine. To be fair.
They're good. They I think great. That there are sexier versions. Like, you can get those wall-mounted wooden ones, which are quite cool. And obviously, you've got that one you're talking about. It'd be great to have something you can hang tools off of as well.
This can do that, exactly. Too. Yeah, exactly. So you can do, like, cool pots idea. To put your paints in as well, which
especially
I'm going to get next.
Especially if you've got kids, because, like, it's... You know, even with drawers and stuff, kids are into everything. They just nick your scalp on and you're like,
Well, this is it, right? Like, you know, being a dad like you and stuff like that. Like, and sort of desk space for me is kind of a premium, because this is like my workspace as well. And, you know, I've got picks and tuners and strings or whatever on my desk, right? It just means that I can condense my hobby stuff into an area.
Yeah.
And like and it's not taking up stuff, and also not in the range of tiny hands, right?
Yeah.
Tiny finickety hands.
They do. Yeah.
Mate.
They really do.
It's scary. Scary. Yeah. And how quick they could get in stuff.
One other thing that I've noticed is this is something that I've tried multiple dry brushes, because I do a lot of dry brushing, right? And I've got some of the sexy dry brushes. What's his name that does them? Come on, you've got them as well.
Artist Opus.
Artist Opus. So I've got some of the Artist Opus ones, and they are really good. The hair falls out on them quite a lot, I find, but they are good.
Mine are for the posh things that I dry brush. I use those.
Yeah. I don't use mine that much, but what I do use is either secondhand or cheap makeup brushes. And I found that, I think they're eyeshadow makeup brushes that are
they're
like the right kind of size. And you don't want ones with too big a tip on them, because if they're too long, it doesn't work. So you need kind of quite short ones. But if you can get your hand on those, Amazon does like 10 packs of them for like fuck all. So get a load of those and just use them, because even if you blow through them,
bigger
one
that
the bristles,
I use for tanks, so they kind of look a bit like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. They're great. So that will be my other recommendation. You don't need to spend an arm and a leg on brushes. You can get pretty good ones for just fuck all. You will blow through them, but I'd rather blow through 10 shitty tiny brushes for £5
than special ones.
Exactly.
On the subject of brushes, I have a signature brush that I like. I like the Premier Pure Sable ones from Germany.
Okay. Yeah, they're
like,
nice.
They're just lush. They're cool. They're not crazy expensive, what my ones are. But they do the jobs.
I've had these for years now. They are Winsor & Newton Series 7. I think I got Winsor recommended by them by... I think it might have been like one of these sort of painting YouTubes or something like that. And they've been really good. I'd probably need to get some new ones at some point, but they hold their tip well, which and they've taken a battering, and they've lasted like 3 years, so they're good.
You got to hold your tip well when you're taking a battering. But yeah, tell you what, I'll give some Winsor & Newtons a go, because I've been meaning to for a while, and I'll
they're
turn you on
a little expensive, but they are very good.
My thing is buy shite, buy twice, right?
And yeah. Like, which is fine for dry brushes, because you blow through them, but it's not so much. You need like proper precise ones for your tiny painting.
Never be precious about a dry brush, because they're not long.
They take the brunt of it. Yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. They get fucked up. But those are the main ones, I think.
I've got a weird one just to finish. Go on. Yeah, a pipette sort of sciencey.
Yeah, I've got pipette
sciencey things.
Oh, you've got a long one. Like, mine's tiny. Fucking hell. For those of you listening, Russ has just got like a 7-incher out on screen. Bloody hell, I've got like a 2-incher. Anyway.
I'm not saying anything there, buddy.
Yeah, like, you carry on.
The audience's imagination can go where it wants to go. But essentially, I love those, because they make mixing absolutely precise.
More accurate, yeah.
Which, when you're doing something and it's like, we need an 80% mix of contrast medium and this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're like, that's kind of it, I guess. And it's actually, sometimes you want a precise
for sure.
wash
thing
or something.
Good shout on those.
Quite well.
Yeah.
There you go, see? Nice. Coming at you with the weird
I'm sure
ones.
We could list stuff for days, but we'll leave it there, I think, in the name of time, and then we shall progress onto our sexy lore topic. Because this is our favourite. Yeah. What have we got?
This is also a good one. So, we could do all species here. It doesn't have to be Space Marines, but Space Marines kind of, for me, is the antithesis of this, right? Where it's like duelists. Ugh, dueling. Yeah. Like, you get two epic mother mofos coming at each other, like, giving their all. Who are the best duelists in 40K or, like, the setting in general? We might do a 30K one at some point, but, Who are the best, like, one-to-one fighters? I will say I am ignoring Primarchs here.
Okay, sure, Primarchs.
Because
they're a bit OP, please,
because
right?
Otherwise it would just be all Primarchs. So,
yeah.
Non-Primarchs... go for it. Who do you think
Orokin the Diviner. He doesn't seem like a duelist. Ooh. But fuck me, that boy is hard to fight because he can shift time, and if you fuck him up, he'll just go rewind and then just split second and then just dodge it at the last moment. There's a lot of that goes on in the Infinite and the Divine, and it is fucking cool. Like he's
coming out as a limited edition soon.
It is, yeah.
Sort that out, Ed. Yeah, I need to. Insane.
But yeah, so he would be hard to fight, I reckon. With that sort of ability, because he's the master chronomancier. So yeah.
I'm going to talk mostly about Space Marines because I would. I kind of going to bring up this person first because they're my least favorite. But I think in terms of I need to mention who this is. So it's Lucius from the Emperor's Children.
I knew that was coming. He's like the number one duelist, right? That's what he's known for.
But I don't. If I'm honest, of course he's highly skilled. Yeah. But he has lost. I think what gives him his bullshittery is his weird, weird Chosen of Sinesh warp power, where whoever kills Lucius becomes Lucius, which is so
it's,
bullshit.
Didn't he die to like a landmine or something? And like the guy who built it in the factory turned into Lucius
It's kind of like that ridiculous. It's kind of that ridiculous. It can be Xenos as well. It can be like... You know, like an Eldar person or even a Necron person, right? And I'm like, how is that, and it's just so, and I don't like Lucius because like in the Horus Heresy, he's such a knobhead. He was like an A-star knobhead, right? And he betrayed his loyalist brethren on his Van 3 and stuff. And just, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he's insanely strong. But for me, he's the lesser of choices here because of his douchebaggery in regards to his completely op power that he gets from Sinesh, which is just it's the most silly writing ever.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
It's very 40K, isn't it? Yeah.
It's very
so is that your
so.
First shout? I have to
because of dignity of like what I'm saying. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I just have to.
Yeah.
But
I think that's a good choice.
Not anywhere near my faves at all.
No.
He's just a dickhead. So.
Yeah. I think that's a fucking cool choice. So I'm going to go with a little bit of a weird one here, but I've got a soft spot in my heart for the old Eversaur assassins because those boys are fucking mental. They are just like, they just explode with all this like juiced up, like fucking pumped up adrenaline, steroids and all these chemicals and shit. They're
pumped
like Bane.
Kicks.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They're,
they're
yeah,
just
they are
the
Bane.
Fucking
they're
mental.
Bane, they're Bane 1000.
Yeah,
I
and they just come in and they're like...
I think out of all of the, because it sucks to be an Imperial Assassin because your life is basically shit. But I think out of all of the Imperial Assassins, like he's got the worst deal out of all of them, right?
Oh, he's mental.
Like some roided up, like nut job that's just.
But I've heard some stories in the lore of those just going fucking bananas and just like, it's like, I don't know if you ever remember that Christian Bale movie, Equilibrium, when he comes in with like the gun carter and shit like that. It's like that kind of level of bullshit where he's like, and just like the whole room just drops dead and he's like, yeah, but
they're meant to be terrifying. They're meant to be absolutely terrifying. And 9 times out of 10, not survive the mission that they're on.
Oh no, they just
they're
fucking haywire and blow up.
Basically like a nuke bomb that the Imperium just goes, what do we need to, who do we need to kill? Throw that on there and just think. I don't. If I'm honest though, mate, I don't really consider them a duelist per se. I think if you fucking fought one,
you would.
Okay, fair.
Because I've read some stuff where there was like a guy fighting an Eversaur, and it was basically just couldn't land a blow. It was just like, this is bad. Like,
okay, well, fair enough then. Okay, fair. Yeah. I'm in danger. Ralph Wiggum. This assassin is just clawing your face off.
Fucks him, yeah. But yeah, so back
at
you.
That's a really
cool
choice.
It's a bit off the wall. It's not a traditional
duelist.
I'm
glad that you're doing those, because my list is basically your Space Marines. I'm kind of glad. Space Marines.
I'm staying away from the Marines.
There you go. So I'll be the Marine focus here. It has to be my favorite duelist, I have to mention, though technically his reputation is more taken from 30K. But it's my boy, Sigismund.
Sigismund.
Like he's the only thing that could possibly ever make me go a bit Black Templar-y, but then that'd be another power armor army that I don't need. And they are the lesser of the Knight Space Marines. Shots fired. But in terms of like straight out awesome figures in the lore, there is no character that can put the fear of the Emperor into traitors quite like Sigismund. So Sigismund's death count, I mean, countless traitors, like Khan the Betrayer.
Yeah.
Like Night Lords up the wazoo, tried to take on Fulgrim. He technically probably killed Abaddon, even though he didn't, because of lore bullshittery. The man's an absolute G. He took the World Eater's philosophy of, chaining your sword to your hand.
Nice.
So all the Black Templars do that now. So Black Templars all chain their weapons to their hand. Really cool. And that was all from the World Eaters, weirdly. And that was the relationship that Khan and Sigismund had.
I never knew that.
Did you not? I
just thought it was a Templar thing. No. Now I know where it's come from.
It's a World Eaters thing. Yeah. There you go. It's actually from the World Eaters, weirdly.
But they don't do it. The World Eaters models don't have chained weapons, right?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
I've never seen them. No, I need to look.
Yeah, no, I'm now curious because I'm 99% certain. But
that is interesting. I never knew that. That's cool. I'm into that.
Yeah, he's just a G. The Black Sword.
Love
that guy. Like he's a great lad. Like we all love Sigismund. I just wish his model was a little bit better for 30K. I don't know. He's a cool lad. He's a cool lad. We all love him.
So this is a character that is I think he's more of a little sort of sneaky fucker in terms of the way he plays things, but I'm pretty sure he's done a lot of dueling in his time, and that is Vect. I don't know if you know who Vect is.
Is he the Drakari lord?
Yeah, he's like the leader of the Dark City.
He's a fucking bastard. Didn't he basically kill all of his rivals by faking his own death and then basically murked everyone when they appeared?
I did a short on this once ages ago. It's really fucking cool. So basically he tricked this
guy. Your shorts are amazing.
Cheers, bud. I need to do some more, but they just take so long to make. He basically tricked this guy. I can't remember exactly, so I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he tricked a guy into accepting this chest as a reward. And he opened it and it was a pocket dimension with a black hole in it. It sucked a whole load of shit, including him, into it and just killed them all. And it was just see you, dickhead.
What's in the box? You're doomed. Yeah.
But he's had some pretty cool pretty cool moments, because he's just a real backhanded motherfucker. He's a survivor.
There's evil in the setting, and then there's
he's evil, mustache twirling,
James Bond. He's just like don't fuck with me or I'm gonna put you and everyone.
Can you imagine if he got a model
hole
on the table?
He has to, at some point, right? I remember his OG model where it was his party bus raider taxi, right? Where he's on that but he has his whole entourage. He has a couple of incubi on there, some Eldari.
Some slaps. Yeah.
Like on there and stuff, right? But like, but like, and it's just so, it was so 90s. His model was so 90s. He was like on that throne. He reminds me a lot of like Malekith from the Dark
Elves. Dark Elves and Fantasy. Marvel.
Yeah, from Fantasy.
Oh, that one. Okay, I thought you meant the other man. Right, okay, anyway. You
there's so
on.
Many
I know who you
mean
now.
Weirdly, yeah, in popular culture. But like from the Dark Elves faction in Fantasy.
Sure.
But like, yeah, he's cool. Like, cool choice, cool. Bro.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a top shagger.
top shagger. Yeah, needs a model. Needs a model ASAP,
he does, yeah.
Right?
God, don't right. I really want to do Jakari next. Stop.
You need to. I'll be honest.
I think I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to sell a different army. I'm going to sell like a load of random shit and then just buy Jakari when they get
there. What are you rocking at the moment? What are you rocking?
As in, what armies have I got?
Yeah.
It's short to just list what armies I don't have, Russ. So I'll probably just sell all my Marines or something because I'm never going to get around to them.
Look, man, I know it sounds really bad, but if there's any faction that I can't imagine you having fun with, it's Marines.
Yeah. They're just too
pedestrian.
You're
just not a Marine player. No. Sorry.
They're too pedestrian.
Yeah, I mean, they are. Unless
everyone's
got
Marines
involved.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Like, if I was to collect Marines, I would... I'm really torn. They're both Imperial Fists chapters. It's the Imperial Fists because I fucking love yellow on Marines. I just think it's just so sexy on the tabletop. God almighty. Yeah. And then the other thing is I just love Black Templars. I just think they're so cool. I just think they're well badass. Cool. So, I'd be really torn between those two, basically, if I had to collect them. But yeah, I'm
but
not
just in
to.
Terms of what I perceive as your play style, they just don't. Ironically, the Legion that
the
I
Vanguard
most
one is about the only one that would appeal
this
to me.
This is what I was
going to
say. I was
going to
say Raven Guard is very you, weirdly.
Yeah, which you hate.
But, yeah, but why would you? Why would anyone? Yeah, exactly. Why would anyone? Quite frankly,
I just play. I like I like the GSC. I like the Jakari. I'm all about guerrilla warfare and hit and run tactics. So that's the
Necron have a lot of that. To be fair,
with the hypocrites,
they have a lot
of
movements. Well, yeah. The teleportation stuff and the Catan and stuff.
Yeah,
right. And stuff.
I enjoy that.
So yeah, so it'd be interesting.
You got one more for us?
I do. Again, this pains my soul because I have to give respect to a legion that I don't really want to, but I need to be fair. And that is Ragnar Backmane. And
he popped into my head as one of the things, but I didn't want to do a Marines one, so I'm glad you've said him. Actually.
Wow, we broed this because you did the Xenos and I did the Marine stuff, so that's actually really cool. So
worked out.
Thank you. Yeah, man. Yeah, happy accident. Ragnar. So Ragnar's a beast.
He's an absolute beast.
And he's actually the one character in Space Wolf Armies that I fear. Like, I don't fear Bjorn. Don't be hasty, Bjorn. I don't fear Logar, Grimnar. Isn't it Logar? Or is it Logan?
Hang on. Grimnar, you mean the guy on the Santa sleigh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's Chapter Master. Logar, Logan.
It's not Logan. It's Logar, I think.
Is it Logar? Yeah, I thought it was Logar. Ragnar is an absolute fucking beast. And he puts the fear of God in me. And I'm like, how many attacks does he have? And the spatial foe is like 13 or something ridiculous. And he's like,
Oh, shit.
But put it this way. Anyone that can take on the god of orcs, Gaz, and lives to tell the
cut
tale.
His damn head off.
Cuts his fucking head off.
Yeah.
Deserves respect. You've got to give him kudos for that, right? Like, and I can say my boy Belial did it first, but not really because he didn't kill Gaz.
I mean,
like,
the fact that
he survived.
Yeah, Gazgul went full on Beric Dondarrion on us, didn't he? He was like, put me back on. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, whatever. Morikai's still alive. It's fine. Is it Morikai? Morikani or whatever his little goblin lad is?
Hang on. Yeah, I know who you mean. Marikai or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get
a little banner guy. It's like,
he's a little goblin that's got like a 2-up invul and I fucking hate him.
Do you know what the funniest deep cut lore about that lad is? Is that in the Gaz book, that Gretchen is constantly replaced. by like a random other goblin
over and over and over again.
And like no one tells Gaz, no one actually tells him because they'd be like, oh, he's there, that's fine. Life's good. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's fine. Like the little gobbo's alive. But yes, Ragnar. Ragnar's a lad. Like, and this weapon of choice is the chainsword, which is just. Okay. Really? Like,
I can't even. It's Makari.
Makari, there we go. See,
that's
Makari.
It's Makari.
It's like a Kraken teeth chainsword thing. Which is
very
so
fucking badass, isn't it? Kraken
teeth. It is badass. Like, even I, as a Space Wolf hater, will be like, nah, that's cool. Yeah,
I guess it is. Credit where it's due. Pretty cool. Enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Look at how unbiased I was. No Dark Angels in this.
No, you didn't actually shit on the wolves that much this week. You did a little bit on the Raven Guard.
Do you know what it is? It's not the wolves per se. It's the people that play wolves.
Because they have the Three Wolf Moon T-shirt and they're
so wolfy McWolf wolf.
One man wolf pack, baby.
I don't know, man. Just lame.
Says you coming in your bathrobe, like, I've got some secrets for you.
Yeah, I do have some secrets, thank you. And then my secrets, not your secrets.
You
want
to see my inner circle, baby?
Everyone does. But like, I just want to give a shout out to some people that I didn't talk about very quickly. Khan the Betrayer.
Yes, he's a beast.
Is it Unshi, the Tau guy? That's the Etherul that
fights. Yeah, yeah, Unshi.
Unshi. And we have to do a 30k list because I need to mention Corswain and the fact that
we'll do that another episode.
Comrade Kurz one day.
I'll give Vargard Oberon a special mention as well. He's like Nemazor Zandrek's personal guard, and he's like an absolute beast in combat as well. Although he's legendary now, which breaks my heart because he's so cool.
There you go. And Argul Tarl and stuff from 30k.
Oh, yeah. His model.
Word bearers, man. That's the only temptation that I have, but I think I'm going to do Emperor's Children instead. But, like,
Word wait bearers, for them to come out. Mm, yeah.
Mm. I do love the Word bearers quite a lot. So
well,
there you
I think
go.
That wraps us up, doesn't it?
I was going to say, let's just, like, get things sorted. Thank you so much, everybody, for, like, giving us topics to do. We'll take into your considerations. We slowed down a bit. We managed to cover all of our topics, which is great.
Yeah, we did well today.
Nice time.
Yeah.
But give us some love. Give us some love on social media. We love you tons.
Give us a like and a subscribe because it helps loads. And, comment if you've got anything you want to talk about that we've been discussing this episode, or if you've got any topic suggestions for the next one.
We eventually want to do like a Q&A episode at some point as well.
Yeah, we will
sort
do.
Sort of shit on Q&A and stuff like
for
that.
For sure.
That's all good.
Yeah.
But we're coming up to our episode 10 at a rate of knots.
God almighty. Is this 7? This is 7, isn't it?
This is 7.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a sacred number.
How is this happening so fast?
God. I know. It's crazy.
I'm enjoying it.
I am too. It's great fun. But thank you for everyone coming along with us for the ride.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Really appreciate it. And we'll see you very soon. Ciao, ciao.
Yeah. See you in the next one.